So shall we start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us spare time and after we work, and so that we can rest in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of Sabbath. And we want to renew our strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we come before you and study your precious word. And I pray, O Lord, that you speak through your servant to your children. And as we study the book of Revelation, we need you to open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that's written in your book. And give us the spirit of revelation and wisdom so that we know our Lord Jesus Christ better. And so that we can walk in his way and in due time. And we will receive praise, honor, and glory from our Lord Jesus. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After, I would like you to read the Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to all the way to 20. Listen carefully, okay? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 to 20.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother, and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because the word of God and the testimony of Jesus on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing fire, like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and of the seven golden lampstands, is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
Okay. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. I want to stop here and explain what I learned from these Bible verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. Everything Jesus has is given by God. But that doesn't mean that Jesus is inferior than God the Father. But just that It proved that Jesus Christ is a faithful servant of God. Whatever God gave it to him, and he knew the reason why God gave it to him. The reason why God gave it to him is to show Jesus' servant, is to show God's servants what must soon take place. Right beside what must soon take place, you write down, let me see, you write down 6 to 22. Chapter 6 to 22 is what must soon take place. So I read that again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant what must soon take place. In other words, what must soon take place is very, very important to each and every one of us. That's why God wants his servant to know that, what must soon take place, so that we prepare ourselves for what must soon take place. And then, when Jesus Christ knows the will of God, Jesus Christ make it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So what the Bible trying to say is, God hold the revelation, and God give that revelation to Jesus Christ, and once Jesus Christ get it, he didn't hide it, he didn't hold it, and he revealed it to God's servant, plural, not just one servant. But the process of doing that, the process of revealing the revelation, is through Apostle John, and then ask John to write to the 7 churches in Asia Minor, that is in Turkey right now. And then through that 7 churches, now the church of the Apostolic Bible Church know the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what the Bible say in chapter 2, verse 7. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. In other words, although John write to the 7 churches, the first church is the church of Ephesus. And at the end of it, in chapter 2, verse 7, he who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. In other words, if we claim that we are the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, we belong to Jesus Christ, we better hear what he has to say, because it is God's desire to reveal his revelation to all his servants. He didn't want his servant to be ignorant. He want his servant to know what must soon take place in the world, so that we prepare ourselves ahead of time before his second coming. And how Jesus Christ make it known? He make it known by sending his angel to his servant John. In other words, because we as a human being, we are handicapped. Sometimes we are not that smart to understand what God has to say to us. We need the angel to help us. So just like in the Old Testament time, when God gave the 10 commandments to Moses, it's through the angel. Okay? Now in the New Testament, God revealed his truth, his will to each and every one of us through the angel. Okay? And so he make it known by sending his angel to his servant John. And then in verse 2, John testify to everything he saw. I don't think in the original language there is the word "that is." So I divide that in verse 2 into 3 parts. The Apostle John testified to everything he saw, the first part. Second part, Apostle John testified the word of God. And the Apostle John testified the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I divide these 3 parts into like that. Apostle John testified to everything he saw. Everything he saw is in chapter 1. Everything he saw is in chapter 4 and chapter 5. So you write down everything right beside everything he saw. You write down 1, 4 and 5. Okay? So that's the reason why I want you to do the homework right after you finish studying with me in the first chapter. You go there so that you know exactly what the Bible tried to tell you. And the second part, John testified the word of God. What are the word of God? The word of God is what must soon take place. In 1:1, you write down, okay? And then the word of God, what's the word of God? The word of God is, generally speaking, is chapter 6 all the way to 22. Chapter 6 all the way to 22, the end of the chapter, the end of the book. And then Apostle John testified the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? The testimony of Jesus Christ is in chapter 2 to chapter 3. Now, if you just look at chapter 1, verse 2, I read that to you. John testified to everything he saw. That is chapter 1 and chapter 4 and 5. To testify the word of God, that's chapter 6 all the way to 22, and testify the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ is chapter 2 to chapter 3. Now verse 3. Blessed is the one who read the word of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Because the time, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is near, so we need to know what must soon take place. That is in chapter 6 all the way to 22. We have to know that. When we know that, we prepare ourselves ahead of time, so that we won't be ignorant of what is going on. That's exactly what Jesus said in Gospel of John chapter 15. I do not call you servant, I call you my friend, because a friend knows the will of his friend. He let you know. He didn't want you to be ignorant. But nowadays, a lot of so-called Christians, they attend churches, and yet they do not know the will of God, nor do they know what must soon take place in this world. So they are not prepared, and they get caught in the middle, not knowing what to do. That is really, really bad. Okay? Now, go. And so, blessed are those who read the word of this prophecy. So that's why I want all of you to get the blessing. I want you to read it yourself. And then, but sometimes when you read it yourself, you may not fully understand what it is. That's why you need to hear what the pastor say to you. So when you understand that, you take to heart. Take it seriously. Okay? Don't lose it. Remember what is written in this prophecy. So I would like you to read it. At first, when I become a Christian, I try to read the Revelation. A lot of things I don't understand, but I don't give up. I keep reading it. Now I enjoy so much. Okay? I read it. I understand what he's trying to say. Because the time is near. The time is near. Talk about two things. First thing, the time of rapture of the church is near. That time, nobody knows. Secondly, the time of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is near too. The time of rapture of the church, the taking up to heaven, is suddenly it happened. And then 7 years later, Jesus Christ will come back. So this time, nobody knows. But the Bible says clearly, the time is near. Now in verse 4, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. That Asia is not Asia, China. Asia, India? No. That Asia is Asia Minor. That's exactly is a Turkey. Okay? Turkey. Okay? But you know that. Now in Turkey, not very many Christians in Turkey. That's really unfortunate. And yet, the book of Revelation was given, first of all, God gave it to Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ gave it to Apostle John. Apostle John gave it to seven angels of the seven churches in Asia Minor. And then the Spirit said to the seven churches, he who has ear, let him hear. Now we hear it, we receive it. Okay? Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kingdom, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. I want to stop here. John write to the seven churches in the province of Asia. First of all, he prayed for that seven churches who received this letter, and asked God to give grace and to give peace to the seven churches. I want you to write beside peace, you write down 1:6. When we receive grace, when we receive peace, we should give glory and power back to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Why? Because grace and peace to you, from where? From God the Father. How did he describe God the Father? God the Father is who is, and who was, and who is to come. Nowadays, there's a lot of gods in the whole world. This kind of man-made God, who is, who wasn't there before, at the beginning, and who will not exist in the future. But the God that we believe is a God, a creator, who is, and who was, and who is to come. Okay? He is in control throughout all generations. And then how did he describe the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit? Grace and peace to you from the seven spirits before his throne. That is how he described the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seven spirit before God's throne. And how did he describe Jesus Christ? Because grace and peace to you, not only from God the Father, also from God the Spirit, and also from God the Son. This is the first time when I read the New Testament that I see this kind of benediction, this kind of prayer. In Paul's letter, you see grace and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Lord Jesus, right? He didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. The reason why John talked about grace and peace to you from the seven spirit before his throne, because he was taken up to heaven. He was taken up to heaven in chapter 4. He see that the Holy Spirit is right in front of the God's throne. So that's why he realized it. Okay? Will you please turn to chapter 4, verse 5. 4 verse 5. I'm sorry. the latter part of verse 5. Before the throne, that's the throne of God, the Father, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. When Paul give the benediction, I just take one. Colossians chapter 1 verse 2. To the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And then before Colossians, take a look at Church of Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Because, listen to me very carefully, if you have never seen something, you cannot say it. Because at that time, Paul hasn't seen the Holy Spirit in the form of seven lamb. Okay? Go back to Ephesians. Go back to Revelation chapter 4 verse 5. Chapter 4 verse 5. Second part of verse 5. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. Because the Apostle John was taken up to heaven, he see the seven lamps were blazing before the throne. These seven lamps are the seven spirits of God. This is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So that's why when he gives the blessing, he know that he sees the throne, he sees the one who sits on the throne, that's God the Father, he sees the seven lamps, and then he sees Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, right? So that's why when he pray for a blessing, that's exactly what he write. Okay? He say, grace and peace to you, chapter 1 verse 4, to you from God the Father, from God the Holy Spirit, and from God the Son Jesus Christ. You understand? That's how he write that. And see how he described Jesus Christ. Because even though John was taken up to heaven in Revelation chapter 4, but when he see God, he didn't see really the glory. So that's why he didn't know much about God. He just say who is, who was, who is to come, right? He's eternal God, okay? And then he described the Holy Spirit, the seventh spirit before his throne, and then but he know a lot more about Jesus Christ. And then grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ. And how did he describe Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. I want you to write down right beside faithful witness. You write down 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 13. And this is what Paul has seen that too. Okay? Paul also realized that Jesus Christ is a faithful witness. Okay? He's faithful unto death. Okay? And chapter 6, verse 13. Etta, I would like you to read that. 1 Timothy 6:13.
In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you.
Jesus Christ is the one who testified before Pontius Pilate. He's a faithful witness. Jesus Christ the one, he make the good confession. What kind of confession did he make? So, I want you to write it down right beside chapter 6 verse 13. I want you to write it down. Gospel of John, chapter 18, 37, 19, 14 to 16. 18:37, Gospel of John, Etta, 18:37, Gospel of John, and then 19:14 to 16. That's the conversation between Pontius Pilate and Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ know that the moment he confessed, proclaimed that he is the King of the Jews, he will be crucified. And yet he remained faithful, and he is a faithful witness. He's true to his witness, okay?
You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me.
Do you remember that Jesus' disciple, the Apostle Peter, when people say you are the follower of Jesus, what did he say? He denied his own Jesus 3 times. You remember that? Why? Because he's afraid to be put to death, right? He's not true. He's not faithful witness, okay? But Jesus Christ is faithful witness. Go to 19:14 to 16, Gospel of John. And Jesus know that once he disowned himself, let's say, okay, saying that no, I'm not the king, he won't be crucified, okay? He remained faithful. 19:14 to 16. Etta?
It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the 6th hour. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, take him away, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar, the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
The high priest, the chief priest, saying that we have no king but Caesar. And yet Jesus remained to be faithful. And he said that, I am a king. For this reason I was born. For being a king, I came into the world to testify to the truth. Okay? So, because John was there all night long, John see with his own eye, hear with his own ear, and so that's why he know a lot more about Jesus Christ. And that's why he say, Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, right? The faithful unto death. And then he know that Jesus Christ was the firstborn from the dead. Right beside firstborn, you write down Romans chapter 6 verse 9. Firstborn unto death means Jesus Christ was put to death, but he was raised from the dead. And then he will not die anymore. He lives forever and ever. Romans chapter 6 verse 9.
For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him.
He will not die anymore. So I want you to write this right beside firstborn from the dead. You write down 1:18. Revelation 1:18. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. I am alive forever and ever. That means he is the firstborn from the dead. I also want you to write it down. Colossians 1:18. Revelation 1:18. Colossians 1:18. Romans 6:9. Colossians 1:18. What's the reason why He is the firstborn from the dead, because the Lord God Almighty wants to make His Son has supremacy over any created being. Colossians 1:18. Etta?
And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy.
The reason why Jesus Christ, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. He is the Alpha, He is the Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. Everything He has to be at the forefront, okay? As far as faithful witness is concerned, He's the true faithful witness, right? So that's why. And John see with his own eyes. And now I also want you to write it down. The firstborn from the dead. You write down 1 Corinthians 15:20. 1 Corinthians 15:20.
But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
The first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. And He is the first one to be raised from the dead. He is the first fruit. He is the firstborn. Mean the same thing. Okay? So that in everything, He has supremacy over everything. Okay? He is the Alpha, He is the Omega. He is the first, He is the end. Now, go back. Verse 4. Grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. I want you to write down right beside the kings of the earth. You write down seventeen, fourteen, thirteen, and sixteen. Go to 17, 14. Jesus Christ was described as the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. 17:14. Could you read it?
They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, because He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and with Him will be His called, chosen, and faithful followers.
Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. How do I know that He is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings? In verse 13 and in verse 17. Read 13.
They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast.
Because He controls the heart of all other kings. All other kings have one purpose, and will give their power and authority to the beast. The beast is the Antichrist. 17:17.
For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish His purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fully fulfilled.
So who is in control of all these kings' heart? Is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ controls them. Who is the one in control? Is the Lord. You understand? You are a slave if you're under that control, right? That's what Paul saying there in Romans chapter 6. Okay? Now, let's go to the second part of verse 5. To Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. First of all, the second part of verse 5 is in response to verse 4 and 5. Because grace and peace was given to us from the triune God, from the God of Trinity. And we should respond to the grace and peace that was given to us according to Luke chapter 2 verse 14. Luke chapter 2 verse 14. The moment Jesus Christ was born, what did the angel proclaim? The angel said,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When God gives us peace, we give him glory and honor. Right? That is our proper response. So I want you to write it down beside 1:4. You write down 1:6. Right beside 1:4, grace and peace to you. Right beside peace, you write down 1:6. You write down Luke chapter 2 verse 14. And right beside 1:6, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Right beside glory, you write down 1:4. The reason why we have to give glory and power back to God, the Son, Jesus Christ, because he gave us grace and peace, right? So you write down 1:4, right beside glory, you write down Luke chapter 2 verse 14. Luke chapter 2 verse 14. Glory to God, the Son, in the highest, and on earth, peace to man on whom his favor rests. So this is the proper response. So what have we learned today? I want to stop here and recap what we have learned today. In verse 1, whenever God gives something to Jesus, Jesus never hold back and take it as if his own. Whatever Jesus received from God the Father, he always give it to his servants. That is the lesson we all have to learn. Whatever talents, whatever gifts, whatever God's word that God given it to you, you don't just hide it within your own heart and then you only enjoy. That's not the way to go. Whatever God give it to Jesus, Jesus always give it to us. I want you to do some homework and take a look of Gospel of John chapter 17. When you read the Gospel of John chapter 17, you see that God gave Jesus God's word, God gave Jesus his name, God gave Jesus glory, everything God gave it to Jesus, like the sheep, the disciple, and Jesus always give it to his disciple. Okay? Take a look at that, okay? And then you understand what I'm trying to say. Secondly, whatever command God gave to Jesus, Jesus do it right away. Take a look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant what must soon take place, and he acted on it right away. Jesus Christ made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw, the word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He did it right away, in a speedy manner. Thirdly, whatever God gives, God gave it to Jesus. whatever God gives, God gives it to us, we have to hold on to that gifts. Like grace, like peace, this is grace. Because whatever He gives it to us, you got to use it. Because you need that. Okay? Whatever gifts God gives it to us, we have to hold on to it, for we need them to do His will. Without God's grace, we can't do it. Without God's peace, we can't do it. Because in order for us to do God's will, we have to go through a lot of the difficulty. We need His grace to strengthen us. We need His peace to give us courage to continue to do that. Okay? That's why Apostle John is saying that. What did he say? He said grace and peace, not only from God the Father, also from God the Spirit, and from God the Son. And then he described Jesus is the one who loved us. To Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. I want you to write beside, by His blood. Jesus Christ using His blood to cleanse us, to set us free. That blood is very, very powerful. It's a powerful blood. Secondly, Jesus Christ using His blood to purchase us for God. Right beside the blood, you write down 5:9. 5:9. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased man for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. So Jesus Christ using His blood to set us free, using His blood to cleanse us, using His blood to purchase us. To purchase us, which is 5:9, using His blood to cleanse us, is chapter 7, verse 14. I answer, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robe and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb has the power to set us free. The blood of the Lamb has the power to purchase us, more precious than silver and gold. The blood of the Lamb has the power to cleanse us, make us white, whiter than snow. One more. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is powerful than Satan. Go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him, overcame Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Brother and sister, I want you to remember these Bible verses. Tell me, where are they? Revelation chapter 1, where? 1:5, right? And then Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Follow after me. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has the power to set us free. Free from any sins. And the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is more precious than silver and gold. Jesus using his blood to purchase us for God. So that we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to who? To God. Okay? And 7:14, we need the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse our clothing, make us white. Finally, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ can overcome Satan. That blood is really, really precious. 1:5, 5:9, 7:14, 12:11. Now, go. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. To him who loved us. No one loved us to the point of death. Jesus Christ loved us so much, he willing to die for us, shed his blood on the cross. So, Jesus Christ has freed us from our sins by his blood. We are not slaves to sin anymore unless we go back to sins by your own will. You are set free already. You understand? Before we believe in Jesus Christ, we are under the bondage of sins. We cannot help but sinning against God. But now that he purchased us, now that he cleansed us, now that he set us free, now that he overcome with his blood Satan, right? So we are set free. We can say to ourselves, yes, I want to take the time out to read God's word. I want to take the time out to serve God. Before that, you can't do it. You have no power to do it. You understand? So that's why when God give us grace and give us peace, what should we give it back to him? We give back glory and power. Brother and sister, how do we give glory and power back to Jesus? By serving him. When you serve Jesus, that means you are not under the bondage of sin to serve Satan. Before, we serve Satan, right? Before, we sinned against God. Now, we turn around, we can serve God. That means we give glory, we give power back to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? To him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, verse 6, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I want you to circle the word a kingdom and priest. Jesus Christ has made us kingdom mean royal. Priest mean priesthood. I want you to write down 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Chapter 2, 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Remember belonging to God? We were purchased by his blood, right? We no longer belong to ourselves, nor do we belong to Satan. We belong to God. And that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I want you to write it down, 2:9 and 2:5, verse 5. We are not only royal priesthood, we are holy priesthood. You also, like living stone, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. That kingdom is a holy kingdom. Jesus Christ bring us into His kingdom. Jesus Christ make us to be a kingdom and make us to be priests to serve His God and Father. So, I want to stop here. I quote two Bible verses to you. One is Revelation 1:6. Jesus Christ has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve His God and Father. Now I realize one thing. Being a believer is not good enough. Being a believer, that means God make us a kingdom, right? He make us priests too, to serve His God, the Father, right? So each and every one of us has to serve God. You remember the lesson that I learned? I say whatever God gave it to Jesus, Jesus never hold back. He always give it to us. I tell you what God gave to Jesus. I want you to write it down right beside king and priest. You circle these two words. You write down Psalm 110 verse 1 and Psalm 110 verse 4. Jesus Christ is not only king and reign with God the Father, Jesus Christ also the priest, the great high priest, the heavenly high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Whatever God gave it to Jesus, Jesus always give it back to us. He shared the glory with us. So that's why we give Him the glory and the power and honor. He's a good Lord. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord is the Father. The Lord the Father said to my Lord the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool for your feet. That means God the Father make His Son king with Him, reign with Him, right? Now 1:4. The Lord the Father has sworn and will not change His mind, saying to His Son Jesus Christ, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Whatever God gave it to the Son Jesus Christ, and God give us the whole thing. He make us to be a kingdom so that we can reign with Jesus Christ. Right beside kingdom, I want you to write down Revelation chapter 5 verse 5 verse 10. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. I want you to write down right beside 1:6. You write down 5:10. 5:10 is even more clearer, because Jesus Christ not only make us to be a kingdom so that they will reign on earth with Jesus Christ. You understand? And also we are priests to serve our God. That's why Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, we are royal priesthood. We are kingly priesthood. We reign with Jesus. We're going to be priests with Jesus. You understand? That is the blessing. He wants you to know that. We do not want to be ignorant, not knowing that. So that when we say, well, I don't know that you, I thought you just want me to be the believer. No, He didn't want you just to be a believer. He wants you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be a follower. When He become king, you become king. Right? When He become a priest in the order of Melchizedek, you are priest in the order of Melchizedek. We are Gentile. We are not a Jews. Right? We are not of the tribe of Levi. And how can we be priests? And yet, 1:6 and 5:10, Apostle John saying that, we hold the priesthood. Right? You write beside priest, 1:6. You write down Romans 15:16. Apostle Paul has the ministry to serve the Gentile, to share the good news to them. That's why he has the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel to the Gentile. You understand? Paul is of the tribe of Benjamin. There's no priest from the tribe of Benjamin. But just because whatever Jesus Christ received in Psalm 110 verse 1 and 4, he gave it back to us. He made it known to us. Do you see that? Brother and sister, do you see that? According to John, according to Peter, according to Paul, we are all priesthood. Don't ever tell me, oh, I'm not a full-time pastor. I'm a lay people. I want to stop here. Go back to Revelation 1:6. To him who loved us. I want you to circle the word us. Who loved us? Jesus Christ loved us. Who set us free? Jesus Christ set us free. How did he set us free? By his blood. Set us free from what? Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the bondage of Satan. Right? And Jesus Christ has made us to be a kingdom and priest, to serve his God and Father. It mentioned in here in verse 6 three times the word us. Can you see the word us represent only Apostle John, Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul? What did the Bible say when I quoted to you 2:7? He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the churches. You understand? We are us. When he loved us, when he free us, he make us. He changed us, right? He used us. So I want to make sure every one of you find a ministry in the church to serve God. You got that? That is how we give glory and power back to Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7. Look, he is coming with the cloud. I want you to write it down. Right beside, to serve. To serve. At the same time, right beside to serve, you write down 1:7. Look, he is coming with the cloud. Right beside to serve, you write down 1:7. While you are serving God, I want your eyes to look up, waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to write it down. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 6 and 7. 6 and 7 is equivalent to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. First Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9. They tell how you turn to God from idol. They tell how you turn to God from idol to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. While we are serving Jesus Christ, at the same time, we have to wait for his coming. Jesus Christ will rescue us from the coming wrath. I want you to write beside the coming wrath, you write down 7 years of tribulation. If you do not serve God, you fail. You will be there on the 7 year tribulation. You understand? Now, listen to me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9. It is not good enough just to turn from idol. You have to turn to God from idol. If you truly turn to God, you will serve the living and true God. That's exactly what Apostle John is saying. To him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, we are free from the bondage of idol. We turn from the idol and turn towards God and to serve the living and true God. How do we serve him? Serve him as priests. As priests. Okay? While we are serving him, Paul warned us to wait for his son from heaven, whom God raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from the coming wrath. The coming wrath is the 7 years of tribulation. Brother and sister, I want to say one more time. I want you to make sure that you know that God, Jesus Christ, has made you a kingdom, a royal, at the same time, a priesthood. You understand? So that you can serve him. When you serve him, you do that, and you wait for his second coming, you won't go into chapter 6 to chapter 19. You understand? You won't go through 7 year tribulation. You pass that. If you do not serve him, you probably stay behind. Okay? You say, well, Pastor John, what about those people who do not serve God, but he died already? He didn't have the chance to go through the 7 year tribulation. Those people like that, being ignorant, do not know that he has to serve God, very likely he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And when we study Revelation chapter 2 to Revelation chapter 3, you find it out. But I want you to do homework to study that and see that. What if I do not live long enough, okay, to be raptured? And let's say 200 years ago you died. You just believe in Jesus. So-called you believe in Jesus. You do not read the Bible. You do not understand God's will. You do not know that you have to serve him as priesthood. Okay? And very likely, if you don't serve him, very likely, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, go back. So verse 7. Look. Right beside 7, other than you write down 1:6, you also write down to wait for Jesus for his second coming. You write down 1 Thessalonians 1:9 and 10. You also write John 1:29. It's amazing, you know. Revelation was written by John. Gospel of John was also written by Apostle John. John 1:29, what did he say? The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But in here, you know, 1:29, who said that? It's John the Baptist said that. Who recorded that? Apostle John recorded that. But in here, 1:9, who said that? Is Jesus said that. Who recorded that? Apostle John recorded that. 1:29, Gospel of John, he wants you to look the Lamb of God. Now, he wants you to look, who do you want you to look? I want you to write it down. 7 and 8, you don't separate that. He wants you to look at the Alpha and the Omega. He wants you to look at the one who is, who was, who is to come. He wants you to look at the Almighty. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? 129 Gospel of John, he wants you to look at the Lamb of God who take away the sin of many. Now, he wants you to look at the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God, the Alpha, the Omega. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. While every eye will see him nowadays with Apple, iPhone, internet, satellite, whatever happened, within 10-20 minutes, the whole world will be able to see it. Put it in the sky, right? The whole world will see that. On top of that, he said even those who pierced him, those who pierced him 2,000 years ago, died a long time ago already. But I want you to write it down. Luke chapter 16. Even the dead will see that. Do you remember the rich man and the Lazarus? Do you remember that? What happened to the rich man? Verse 16:23. In hell, where the rich man was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Even though the rich man was in hell, he see what happened in heaven. So those people who do not believe in Jesus, they will see it with their own eyes. In those days, 2,000 years ago, they pierced Jesus, they see it. Now he is descending from heaven. As they are not as the Lamb of God, as the Lion of Judah, as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, as the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega. You understand? He wants you to look at that. Okay? He wants you to look at that. Don't misunderstand that. Okay? So even the dead will see that. Because in Luke chapter 16, we see the rich man can see Nazareth was in the blossom of Abraham. Right? So in other words, that make them even suffer more. Because say, oh, if I don't see heaven, you know, I don't know that you enjoy so much. Now I'm in hell. Then even aggregate, what should I say? Add to it, you know? Your pain and suffering. You understand? I should have believed in Jesus. I should have done that. Now I didn't do it, right? Donald, do you learn anything today? Okay, what have you learned today? Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him. Even his enemy in hell can see that. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. How come they mourn? Because they don't believe in him. And now they suffer. You understand? But if you believe in him, you see him, you're joyful. Take a look of Zechariah. Take a look of Malachi. The last book of Old Testament and the last chapter. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 2. Could you read that better?
But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall.
So you're happy, right? But if you do not believe in him, when you see him coming, you're in deep trouble. Verse 1.
Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them.
That's why they mourn. That's why we rejoice. Those who do not believe will mourn. Those who believe will rejoice when they see the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, what did I say to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9 to 10? You not just turn towards God from idol, but you start serving the true and living and good God, right? You start serving Him. By the time when you start serving Him, you start lift up your eyes and wait for His coming. The Almighty God will come back. You got that? Look, He is coming with the cloud, and every eyes will see, even those who pierce Him, and all the people of the earth will mourn because of Him. Right beside, because of Him, you write down Malachi chapter 4 verse 1 and 2. So shall it be, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, said the Lord Almighty, said the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I want you to write it down. That 1:8 is different from the 1:4. 1:4 is grace and peace to you from Him who is, who was, and who is to come. Who is He? He is God the Father. Right? But in 1:8, Jesus say, who is, and who was, and who is to come. That's not God the Father. This is God the Son. Because He's coming down. So I want you to write it down. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. When you see who is, who was, who is to come, God the Son, you see who is, who was, who is to come, God the Father. Right? You also write down John 10:30. You write down John 14, 6 to 11. Etta, I want you to read that. 14, 6 to 11. Gospel of John. 14, 6 to 11.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am?
I want to stop here. Go back. Verse 7, if you really knew Jesus, you would know my Father. If you know the Father is who is, who was, who is to come, you know Jesus is who is, who was, and who is to come. You understand? If you see God the Son, you see God the Father. You know God the Son, you know God the Father. You got that? Keep reading it. Verse 10.
Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves.
You see, when Jesus Christ coming, and Apostle John reminded us in Gospel of John, in his first coming, in Jesus' first coming, look, the Lamb of God who take away the sins of many people, right? In His second coming, look, the Almighty who is, who was, and who is to come. I am the Alpha and the Omega. You got that? Apostle John want us to realize who Jesus is. Without reading the Revelation, it's very difficult to understand Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 30, chapter 14, verse 6 to 11, right? Now you see that. Who is, who was, who is to come. Represent who? Who did he represent? God the Father, God the Son. Also who? God the Holy Spirit too. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that as we study your word, you open our eyes, our mind, so that we can understand. Believing in you is not good enough. Believe has to have the action of serving you, knowing that you have made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. Through our ministries, through our service, we give glory and power back to you. We give you thanks for your first coming. We also give you thanks for your second coming. We're looking forward to your second coming. And I pray you help us to prepare ourselves to welcome your second coming. And you promise us, blessed is the one who read the word of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. We know your second coming is near. We know that according to 1 Thessalonians, we wait for your second coming, because my Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, will rescue us from the wrath of God, from the 7 years of tribulation. That is what you promised us through the writing of Apostle Paul. And I pray that you help us to remember. Thank you for your rescue, rescuing us from the coming wrath. We don't want to enter into the 7 years of tribulation. We want to enter into your kingdom directly, to reign with you, and we want to serve you right now as a priesthood, as a holy priesthood, as a royal priesthood, as a priesthood to proclaim the gospel, as a priesthood to serve you. Lord, and I pray that you hear our prayer and help us to be faithful in serving you. We give you thanks, not only giving us a ministry, a position that we can serve you, and you also give us grace. That's the grace you've given us to us. It's not a burden. And thank you for giving us peace, so that when we serve you, we know that what's the result of serving you faithfully. We see that how Jesus Christ to be your faithful witness, and now he reigns with you, sit at your right hand, and waiting for his enemy to be his footstool. And we're looking forward to that day, O Lord, and help us to remember what we hear today. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.